in the light, walking in the truth, is so key, because there's no other way to walk except to walk in the truth. There's no other way to walk. There's no other light except the light of the truth of the Word of God. So it's important that we listen to it. It will help you. I'm telling you, it will help you. To so many who don't understand, it is foolishness. They don't see how this will play a role in their lives. But I'm telling you, there's no other way. This is the only way to get it done. Amen. So here we're talking about transformed by the renewing of the mind. This is part 5. Text is 1 Corinthians 2:5. It says, 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's say it together. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can we say it together? That your faith, I'm reading King James Version. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's go. Okay, maybe the one I'm reading is a different King James. But this is okay. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And it is important that we know this. I was talking to them yesterday here in the prayer meeting. That you must understand that there's only one foundation. There is no other foundation. God has laid how many foundations? Only one. And that is Christ Jesus. You cannot have a living faith, effective faith, faith that overcomes, faith that produces, except the faith that is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The word alone is very important. Jesus is, we say it on Christ, the solid rock, we what? We stand. But we need to understand that that is true. There is no other foundation. Brother, I'm telling you, there is no other what? Foundation upon which you can lay your faith. Your faith must be on Christ Jesus and on Christ Jesus alone. Your faith cannot be in what men do, cannot be in what you do, cannot be in what you think you have achieved, cannot be in how you pray, cannot be in your fasting. None of that. There's only one place you can put your faith and it will stand. And that is on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen that to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is to disregard the gospel. To be carnally minded is to disregard the gospel. I want us to say that together. It is to disregard the gospel and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ that he did for you, and to try to live by any other means. That is what will lead to death. That is why it will lead to death. Because only Jesus gives life. Only Jesus gives life. So when we try to live a life outside of Christ, outside of what Jesus has done for you and for me, then we are living in death. Because it's only through Christ that life comes to us. So that's why the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. And so this carnal mind is a mind that does not accept the things of God, does not receive the things of God. It doesn't receive what God has done for him. And it ends up in religion. Ends up in religion. At the best, they want to live like the Jews lived before Jesus came, called the time of Moses. Because at the time of Moses, Jesus hadn't come. The cross had not come. The blood has not been shed. It was a totally different dispensation. And so you find a lot of people who live, who really practice Judaism and call it Christianity. And sometimes they mix it up. They try to bring Christianity and bring Judaism and try to mix it up. So it produces carnal mindedness because it is focused on men and what men do. It is focused on you and what you do. It's focused on what you think you are doing to please God, what you think you are doing to be accepted by God, what you think you are doing so that God will answer your prayer. It's focused on all of that. That's carnality. It's focused on the physical. It's not focused on the spiritual. It's not focused on God. But why did the Bible say we should look unto? Look unto who? Jesus. When you take your gaze away from Christ, you become very carnal. Very, very carnal. And so it produces carnal life. Because the things that God has done to give you the things that you need for life and godliness, you have neglected all of them. Not one of them you are employing, not one of them is in your heart. And then you are trying to live a life that the Jews lived when Jesus didn't come. It will produce carnality. Because there is no other means to produce life except through Christ Jesus. And you can't do anything except all things. We do all things through who? Through Christ. Can't do anything. So we need to understand what we're saying. And the devil is always trying to enter into our thought and control it. The devil is always trying to enter into your thought life. I'm telling you, Christians, you can do all night video and fight the devil all you want to, but you can't stop him trying to control your thought. He tries it all the time. Can you sit up a little bit? Yeah. He tries it all the time. He wants to enter into your thought life and control it. Why does he want to control your thought? Because all the issues of your life come from where? From there. Because he is smart. He's not foolish. And it's a subtle thing. Very subtle. If it wasn't subtle, you would know immediately. So he comes sometimes sounding like a preacher, sounding like a pastor, sounding like an evangelist. In fact, calling himself an apostle. So he wants to come in there and confuse you as regards the things that God has given you for life and godliness. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, 14 to 15. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Did you read that? He transforms himself or disguises himself as what? An angel of light. Therefore, it is the next one. So it is no wonder that his servants also do what? Disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. It's no wonder. He tries to enter into your thought life. He tries to bring confusion. He tries to really confuse us. But we must not be confused. That's why you must know the truth like the back of your hand, so that you cannot be confused. That's what he does. Look at Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be immature like children, which means we have to grow and be matured in the knowledge of the truth. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. So clever. That's deceit. He's the master of deceit. And don't forget what our Lord Jesus told us, that he is a liar. That when he speaks of his own self. He doesn't speak for God. So he can bring a lot of confusion and bring things. He can take a scripture. He went to Jesus and used scriptures. He used scriptures. So you must understand what I'm saying, that carnality is dangerous. Because if you are carnal minded, he will deceive you just like that. Just like that. Praise the Lord. So Peter calls it destructive heresies. And in these last days, there is preponderance of it. It is everywhere. It's in America. It's outside America. It is on television. It is on even the popular television you watch. Some of the things they talk is outright nonsense. So you must be grounded and rooted in the truth. That's why these teachings are very important. Can I hear amen? So the truth is the only thing that sets us free and keeps us free, if we continue in it. That's the only thing that sets you free and keeps you free. I want to repeat that. The truth is the only thing that sets you free and keeps you free, if you continue in it. Not if you don't continue and you begin to walk into the deceit of a lie. Once you begin to walk in the lie, you are walking in darkness. you get back to bondage. The truth is the only thing that if you know it, it keeps you free and continues to keep you what? Free as long as you walk in it. But if you are deceived and you deviate from it and start walking in the lie and the darkness, that's the realm of bondage. Because only the truth keeps you free. That's why it's important that you listen to these teachings. It's important. It's for your own good. It's for your own good. Amen. So the scripture tells us that if we find the truth, if we find the word, then it becomes life. It becomes health. It produces life. It produces health. And truly, the truth, the word of God, is what God sent to heal us and to deliver us. And what is the truth? I'm going to give you the definition of the truth as God gave it to me. The truth is the gospel. What did I say? It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to say it with me. The truth is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Say it louder. Come on. Say it louder. Come on. I have never had this all my life. Never. They lost it to me. The truth is the gospel. He said, do you know what Jesus brought? Is the gospel. He said, before Jesus, there was no gospel of the cross, no gospel of grace. So he brought you the truth and grace. He brought you the gospel. And it was the first thing he preached to mankind, the gospel. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. New Living Translation. What did I say the truth is? That is the gospel, because Jesus brought us the truth and grace. And the gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. Jesus brought us the gospel that he was going to come to accomplish here on earth. So Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. So we must listen very carefully to the truth. We must listen very carefully to what we have heard, or we may drift from it. Continue. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. Let's continue the next verse. So what makes you think we can escape if we ignore this great what? Salvation. Remember, what was verse 1? Go back to verse 1. So we must listen very carefully to what? So in verse 3, it tells us what the truth is. Go to verse 3 quickly. So what makes you think we can escape if we ignore this great what? That was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who had him. So he said, this truth is the gospel. Are you following me? Come on. Are you following me? He said, the truth you've had. And he told us what the truth is. He said, the truth is the message of salvation. What is the message of salvation? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 7. This is good. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand what? The truth. Then the word for. Why did he say to understand the truth? For is what is for? Conjunction, right? It connects two sentences, two facts that are connected. Okay, let me read it and then you get what I'm saying. For there is no. Go back to verse 3, right? Verse 3. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. This is good and pleases. 1 Timothy 2, 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Verse 4. Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand what? Then verse 5. For. What is the truth now? For. There is only one. Come on, man. Five. For there is what? What? Only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man. So the truth he wants them to know is this. They the gospel. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth he wants us to know. If you are following me, say amen. Let me repeat it again. The truth in a nutshell is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. That's the truth that God wants us to know. So if you read the book of Galatians 1, Paul was talking to the Galatian church, Galatians chapter 3, I think. He was talking to them. He said, Jesus was set before you people as you saw, like the cross was made visible to you. It's like you saw it. He said, how can you deviate from that truth that was already given you? So he said, did you lose your mind? Who made you do that? He said, the path you are following is a dead end. It's carnal end. You've left the truth. He said, Christ was made so... Can we read it? Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. He said, we made the meaning of his death so clear to you that as if you've seen the picture of him, where? On the cross. Paul said, this is what I focused on. After teaching you this, you dumped it somewhere and started believing something else. He said, who cast a spell on you? If you read Message, can we have it on Message? Message. Message. He said, you crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it is obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. I can't preach it. I can't tell you more. This is absolute truth. The truth the church must know. And this is the church Paul is talking. He's not talking to unbelievers. He said, I taught you the church, members of the church, believers, about the cross, so you understand the meaning of his death. He said, he made it so clear to you. He said, how can you leave it? You leave all of that and you go into something. He said, you are crazy. He said, you have to lose your mind to do such a thing. Because there is no other way, church. There is no other means, church. There is nothing else except what God gave us in Christ. Nothing else. Praise the Lord. So I want to give you three things I've told you before. You must not compromise on these truths. Why is this thing humming? You must not compromise on these three things the gospel gave us. You must not let anybody talk you out of it, preach you out of it, talk anything against it. Don't listen to them. That is demonic doctrine. Any doctrine that takes you away from the truth of the gospel is satanic. These three things are very important. Number one is forgiveness of sin. What did I say? Forgiveness of sin. This is a principal benefit of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to God. We have peace with God. And I'm talking to each one of you, that because of the blood that was shed for our sins, the Bible says we have been reconciled to who? To God. And we have peace with God. If our sins are not forgiven, we will not have peace with God. We have peace with God. We are reconciled to God. We don't walk in condemnation no more. Can somebody shout hallelujah? The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the what? Flesh. What does it mean walking after the flesh? Carnal-minded thinking that excludes the cross. But you walk after the Spirit. What's walking after the Spirit? You walk after the... Jesus said, the word I speak to you, the Spirit and what? The truth. You walk after... let the word of God guide you. Let the revelation of Christ guide you. Brother, I'm telling you, church, if you don't understand, if you compromise on these things, your prayer won't work. you will lose and pray useless, powerless prayer. You can make all the noise in the world, shout all you want to, but the devil will come and hold you in your conscience. You have evil conscience. And God says, don't come to me with an evil conscience. Because an evil conscience is the conscience that disregards the blood, disregards the cross, and wants thinking of another way to please God. You can't set Christ apart and come to God. Because Jesus is the only way to God. I'm telling you, church, your prayers won't work. You can't stand before the devil. You have no boldness whatsoever. You can't. You lose battles upon and wonder what's happening to you. It's because you don't know that salvation, that part of your benefit is that your sins have been what? Been forgiven. That you are righteous before God and you have been reconciled to God. And because God made Christ to be sin for you, so that you become the righteousness of. That's the work of the cross. You can't, church, you can't live successfully if you disregard Jesus. No way. As this thing sounds, I'm telling you, the enemy takes advantage of this so much. So many people pray, they have no single faith for it. Because the devil will show up and remind you the things that you did wrong. Let me ask you a question. When are you going to be as holy as God so you can now pray? I'm asking a question. Do you know the blood of Jesus speaks on your behalf? He says he speaks better things than the blood of what? If God will lead me, I'll go forward on Sunday and show you why you must accept these things as true. Because you see, it's not just the cross, church. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, all these three things work together and gave us something incredible, unbelievable. Something that Paul could not believe it. Because Paul said, are you serious? He said, God gave us indescribable gift. And when the man worshiped God, he worshiped God with heart of gratitude. He said, sinners, he said, I'm the worst of them. He said, by the grace of God. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. He said, by the grace of God has made me what I am. You must understand this, church. Your sins have been forgiven. I want to shout it. Your sins have what? Don't you compromise on this one. It was because of you that he went to the cross and shed his blood so that you can never be condemned no more. He took condemnation so that we get justification. You can't allow the devil to deceive you. He wants to enter into your thought life and make you. And he's so good at doing stuff like that. Did you remember, you know, Sambalat and Tobiah? That's the ministry of Satan. He will come and try to ridicule, oh, wicked spirit. He will try to ridicule you, ridicule your faith, ridicule your prayer. You say, is that all? My friend, you need 40 days fasting. You think God will hear you just for talking like this? But what did God say? Let your request be made what? He said, if you ask me, I will give you. Believe that. Oh, no. Devil will say, how can he give you? You did something wrong. You went to God and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I did something wrong. Forgive me, Jesus. The devil will show up and say, no. This kind of thing, it will take more than that. I was talking with God have mercy on us. I was talking with one dear sister, wonderful sister, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, the scripture says, you know, God, a contract heart and a broken spirit, God does not want to overlook. I say, yes. Yeah? So, is that what we wash away your sin? I said, yeah. To be contrite is to be sorry for what you did. That's all it means. That's all it means. I said, do you know that no matter how contrite you are, without the shedding of the blood, there is still no what? Forgiveness. That you can be contrite for 1 month. without the shedding of that blood, nothing can wash away your sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your tears can't, that you are contrite and you sulk, you don't come out again, and you don't, if you come to church, you stay at the back, that is all, that's your own. The only thing that takes care of sin is the blood. Because the soul that sinned must what? But his death, his blood was shed to wash away our sins. Can we believe this gift of God of mercy? That's why grace is so important. Abundance of grace. Look at what the scripture says. How many of us believe the Bible is the word of God? Do you still believe it? I'm not sure. Okay, why don't you believe your sins are forgiven? Why don't you believe it, that God has made you righteous and Jesus has become sin for you? And so but the Bible says, come boldly. Come how? Boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find more grace. More grace is available to help you at your time of need. More grace. More. Where sin abounds, you are struggling with it, there's grace to help you out and turn you around and make you what God wants you to. Did you see all that Bible? Most of the people that God used were people that no human being will like will come, will give chance at all. How will you call Paul to preach the gospel? When they killed Stephen, he was the man that organized it. And he said it. He said, I killed many of them. Not only Stephen, he said many of them. He said, I threw many of them into jail. He said, I'm going from city to city. And he said, I forced them to curse Jesus. Read the Bible. He said, I forced them to blaspheme the name of God by force. Will you choose him to preach the gospel? Those are the ones that do better than those ones who think they're good. Because they appreciate grace more. And yet, not as good. So let me show you something if you still believe the Bible. Before I read it, let's make a deal, my friend. No, I will not read it. We are going to make a deal. You must believe this and I'm going to read. Is that a deal? If you don't want to believe it, let me skip it. You want to? Are you going to believe it? Okay, 1 John 2:12. Can we now read it together? This is a letter written to us, written to all of us. Have you received your letter now? 1 John, that's your letter. I remind you, my dear children, you are. Who is this? I remind you, my dear children, your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. He's writing to the church. He said, I want to remind you of this fact. I want to remind you. Why does he want to remind them? They have forgotten. They are acting timidly because the accuser of the brethren will show up. He wants to get into your thought life. He wants to make you miserable. He's so wicked and heartless. Doesn't want to see you smile. He doesn't want to see you full of joy. So he will bring accusations and make sure that even though you say you're a believer, but you're a believer under stress and weight of condemnation. So he's heartless and wicked. So he wants to make you complain mama all the time and mama some more. He will ridicule. But bless God. You shall know the truth. It's all part of it. He said, let me remind the church that they have been reconciled to God. That there's now peace between you and God. There's no enmity. God is not your enemy. You are not an enemy of God. There's no enmity. There's no quarrel. Because your sins are what? Forgiven. If it wasn't forgiven, then we have problem with God now. God can say, come boldly. God will say, well, check it before you come. Remember our agreement that we have to accept this. And somebody say, okay, what of the sinner? If you commit sin, the Bible tells you what to do. If you confess your sins, he said, I'm still faithful and what? Just. To what? You know what? Even human beings, the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, either the Fourth or Third, I can't remember, forbids you punishing somebody twice for the same crime. It is forbidden in this country that you cannot punish somebody twice for the same. It is forbidden. Double jeopardy. Once a court has decided and punished somebody, you can't come back to the court again and say, it doesn't happen. Human beings, evil people who are not as good as God, says, once you are suffering for this thing, nobody, even if their punishment was small, nobody can punish you again. Brethren, I want to ask you, God is holy. The Bible says the chastisement, you know what chastisement means? Suffering of our sins. God put it on who? Christ. How can God commit double jeopardy? That's why God said, I'm just. I'm first of all, and I'm what? Just. To forgive you. Because he has borne the penalty for you. Praise the Lord. So all that thing you are doing, refusing to eat, you know, walking, doing all this. My friend, let's have it. You already bore the penalty. God doesn't need another sacrifice from you. The Bible says, because this sacrifice is enough, God doesn't require another what? Sacrifice. So don't try to sacrifice something. Don't try to sacrifice anything. Jesus himself said it. He said, sacrifices and burnt offering you have no interest in it. He said, I'm the one that came to do thy will. Oh God. He said, a body you prepared me. All other sacrifice you are trying to do is your wisdom. That is you. That you. You come to church, you won't stay in front. You go to the back. And the devil say, you are not even worthy to enter here. Then you go outside. If you are not worthy to enter, who is worthy to enter? And I told them yesterday, I said, you see the scripture that said that we should not forget the assembling of. If you read out the scriptures before, it's part of what Paul was trying to remind the church. Don't let anything stop you from coming to church. Don't let anything, because the devil will try to stop you. And stop you from praying. Because you go to pray, kneel down. He will show up immediately and say, you pray. Then you start crying. They start begging God for yesterday. And God is watching this man and saying, I don't even know what you are talking about. Because when I forgive, I have forgotten. So what is he talking? And then you are crying. That's why Paul said to the Galatians, something wrong has taken place. If you are in the house and you washed your clothes yesterday, you washed it, and then you go back to the washer, and then your wife say, what? You say, I'm looking for the dirt we washed yesterday. What will your wife do? He will call intervention immediately. That's what Paul was telling them. He said, who put this spell on you? How can you behave this way? He said, you have to be crazy to do stuff like that. See what I told you? If you are carnally minded, you can't win battles. You have to be spiritually minded. You have to be strong on this thing. You must stand on it. You must believe it. You must not let the devil or his members or his so-called apostles, whatever, talk you out of that with condemnation. You must fight back and say, bless God, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm walking after the Spirit. I'm following the word of God. I'm not following carnal-minded reasoning. Then you see the hand of God. That's what pleases God. Because what he did, you recognize it and honor it. Amen? Have you ever given somebody something that cost you something and the person treats it with disdain? Huh? How do you feel? Huh? It's a terrible thing. Because it kills your spirit right there, Paul. And if you're hidden, you take that thing back. And if you're hidden, you won't give that person anything again. But because you're a Christian, you still give more. You give more, you have to. But does it pain? It is perfect. Cost you something, cost you time. And with joy you brought it. And the person looks and says, is this all? Can you imagine God gave his son to die for us, shed his blood to wash our sins, And we come to him and we are crying. What you are telling God is that thing. It's not. Is that all? No. It needs more things to be done. You reject the cross and you expect God to listen to you. Abba. Number two thing that we must be strong upon is freedom. Is what? You know the word redemption means freedom. You know what the Lord told me? He said, you people as you are free to understand the Bible. He said, for years, have you not been using the word redemption? Did you know what it means? So every time I talk of redemption, if I say that God is awesome. He said, if you have redemption him now. He said, if you have redemption him now, you call it redemption him now. He said, what is redemption? It's what you don't understand, you don't accept. He said, use the word, you don't want to know the meaning. Redemption means simply freedom. Let's put it in the language you will understand. So it makes meaning to you. Freedom. Number one is forgiveness. Number two is what? Can we say it again? Number one is what? Do we agree on forgiveness? Then number two is what? Longest day you live, don't let anybody talk into bondage again. Don't you ever look. This is the truth of the gospel. Don't let anybody talk you into bondage again. For as a man thinks it's his heart, so you end up, if they talk into bondage, it's you that chose bondage, not God put you there. We've been set free from the power of sin. We are not slaves to sin. And I told you on Sunday, two Sundays ago, you can't be a son and be a slave at the same time. It doesn't work. Jesus says the slave does not abide in the house always. He said, but the son is always there. Which means you can't be a slave and be a son. How can you be a son of God and be a slave? Where do you find it? You are the son of a king and you're a slave. Where do you find it? Even Moses, because he was considered the son of Pharaoh, nobody could stop him from doing what he wanted to do. Even Moses, nobody could stop him. Look at Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of what? I'm reading Romans 8:15. I'm reading King James Version. For you have not received the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear. You don't have to fear. You have no bondage. But you have received the spirit of what? Adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba Father. Romans 6:6. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We know. Paul said, I know it. Do you know it? Do you know it? He said, I know that our old sinful selves was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power over our lives. That is Romans 6:6. It's what I'm reading. We are no longer slaves to sin. We know, church, we know, brethren, we know, church, we know, hey, we know, anger is not my own. We know. We know it. Do you know it? You shall know the truth. Do you know this truth? Do you know this very truth? Have you come to embrace it? Do you know the message? Paul said, I will explain the meaning of the death of Jesus to you. Do you know this very truth? Is it clear to you now? See what he said. Put it up, please. Put it up. We know. What do we know? What do we know? That our old sinful selves were what? Crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Do you know this truth? For you shall know the truth, You shall know what? This is being spiritually minded. Is to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Is to believe the word of God. To walk in the spirit is to walk in the things you don't see, but they're real. Paul said, we know. We are certain of this. We understand. We are not slaves to sin. He says, on the cross, he destroyed the old self. We are new creatures. Sin is no more my master. Praise the Lord. Do you know why we struggle? We don't know. So we think, I'm here to now do it. You can't. That's what Jesus did. The power of sin, only Jesus took it. Amen? Then he explained further. Then let's go back, go down to verse 11. Romans 6:11. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ. He said, you must consider yourself. You must consider yourself. You must consider yourself. It's a must. You must. So you also should consider. Should is something that is imperative. If I understand English. It's something that is what? Something you must do. It's a more decent way of saying you must do this. You must consider yourselves to be dead. What does it mean to be dead? I don't respond to it. You must consider. You must consider. Everybody say, I must consider. You must consider. You must consider. You must say that is true. You must know it and consider it to be. Oh, you say, Pastor, but I'm not dead. Because you don't consider it. You want to see before you believe. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because to believe is to receive it. If you don't say it's yours, it's not yours. You won't experience it. The day you say, yes, I've been set free, then freedom is yours. You overcome with the testimony of your mouth. The day you say, I consider, I don't respond to this thing. That's how I start walking. You insist on it. You insist on what? You fight the fight of faith on this thing. Because the devil will try to contest it. You got to fight him. Then you really realize that, wow, the things that used to pull you, you don't respond to them. Praise the Lord. And then he says, so you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So we even sing it. Because he lives, I can. Praise the Lord. And then he tells us our empowerment. I still go to empowerment. In verse 12, he begins to tell the Christian what he's empowered to do. In verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. You're empowered to say no to it. Do not give in to sinful desires. You're empowered to say no to it. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin, because you have the power to do that. Before now, we were slaves to sin. So we didn't have power to control it. But now he's saying, no, you are no more a slave. So you can now say no. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. Let's read verse 14 together. Sin is no longer your what? Master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live now under the freedom of God's grace. Where did grace come? Through the cross. You live under the freedom of what Jesus has done by the grace of God for us. He set us free. He set us free. Look at Colossians 1:13. I had a story of Father Charles Wesley or one of these people. One woman came to him and said, I want to become a Christian, but I like dancing and I can't stop dancing. So if I become a Christian, I want to still go to what do you call this place they go to drink? Clubs. I said to her, I said, it's okay. I said, just come and give your life to Christ, then you can go. I said, that's all you want. So the woman came, gave her life to Christ. And after 1 week came to him, he said, Pastor, I don't have the desire to go in. He said, because you are now a new Christian. He said, I don't have the desire. Brother, you know, I had the same experience. I don't know. That's why I keep saying, when you preach the gospel, please preach the real gospel. Because the gospel sets people free. Do you know I used to drink smoke? You know? I used to drink a lot. Don't tell my wife. Man, I could finish a half bottle of whiskey and still be. No. I'll take 7 bottles of beer and be numb. And then when we finish 1 carton, we announce the date of the carton. We'll announce that this carton has finally died and is buried. So we'll announce the part of a new carton. We'll bring it. I'll give it 1 name. Say, we've just received, oh, a baby has been born. And the baby is right here. So we'll start on it again. And you know Nigerian beer? Brethren, you know, when I got saved, I had no desire for it. I didn't struggle. There was no desire. Did one to just like. I'm not kidding. Just like. There was no struggle whether to drink. It didn't appear to me. There was no. Because Jesus set me free from it. I became a new creature who doesn't regret. Dead to the world. Paul said, through the cross, I was dead to the world. I became dead to that. I don't know. Sometimes I ask myself, what gospel are people really preaching? You used to know me now. You know why he came to this church? He said, I used to know you. He said, I watched you and found out that this thing is true. He's here. He said, I watched you and I said to myself, this thing is true. You're not acting. I've been here 40 years. If it's not true, you would have found out. I don't make effort to live my life. I don't put any effort. Believe you me, I don't wake up and think about myself at all. I wake up and say, God, you know, you are living in me. If it's me, I have problems. But since it's you, all is okay. You are the one that is at work in me. You are the one working. You know I can't, so you can. Once you can, I can. Praise the Lord. Once Jesus can, then you can. Yeah. Do I make mistakes? Of course I do, because I'm not as perfect as God. But I've learned to take advantage of the blood and get back. I don't let it bother me. Praise the Lord. I don't let the accuser get to me. And he has found out that I don't give him attention. Because joy, joy, joy. Joy every day in Jesus. There is joy every day. You can't take it away from us, brethren. Nobody can. I don't care what they do to you. They can't take that joy from you. If you allow them, it's your choice. You can say, no, you are not taking my joy from me. I got it from Jesus. You can't touch my peace either. So I'm going to bed and sleep and let you sweat over that. I don't have a problem, I love you. Praise the Lord. So, Colossians 1:13, he has rescued us. Okay. He has rescued us from what? And transferred us into the kingdom of Jesus. He purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. He's always telling you, sins are forgiven. Now, how can you convince me that he didn't purchase my freedom? How can you come and tell me I'm bound? Bound by what? That must be the voice of the devil. Because the gospel of Jesus says, I paid for your freedom. You are free. That's the gospel, brethren. That's what? The gospel. And whom the Son has set free. And let me tell you, nobody can put you in bondage unless you yourself go there and put yourself. Because that's where I'm going again. The empowerment. Three things. Forgiveness. Number two, what? Number three, what? Empowerment. You've been empowered, brethren. You have been what? Empowered. I've been empowered. So I can say no. You know, when you're a slave, you have no empowerment. But now that you are free, you have the power of choice. Oh, praise the Lord. You've been empowered with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you shall receive what? Power from on high. You've been empowered. You've been empowered. You've been empowered. You've been empowered. You've been empowered with authority. He says, in my name you shall cast out what? Demons. And it is the privilege of everybody who has accepted Christ as his Lord. Because that's what the gospel gave us. Everybody. I said, how many people? Everybody. One day I'm going to test two people here. Because one time we were at Ajegunle, and then there was this the Lord told me, and told me this one. I said, they had to go and bring the things he has in the house. He has all these native doctors. And I told her, I said, you have this native doctor. Go and bring it. She went and brought it. And when she brought it, all the people in the front seat ran away. These were so-called believers. They ran for their life. I told them, I said, this is pursuing you. This. If I bring red cloth now, some of you will run. I'm not kidding you. My wife went to woke up in the morning, came out and saw human hair. Bump, you know, they used it to do something and put it in the tree. You know what they did. She stood there and took authority over it. He said, we reign on earth. We don't reign here. We reign on earth. We don't reign here. We determine what happened. We've been empowered. Wherever the sole of your feet steps upon, you take over the place. You've been what? Empowered. You don't chicken out, my friend, because God lives in you. You've been empowered. The gospel teaches empowerment. It teaches what? Empowerment. You must not compromise on these three things. You must not let anybody talk you out of it. You must not let any circumstance intimidate you and you think you are not empowered. You are, I don't know how to put it, you are wonderfully and terrifically empowered. For the power that worketh in you has no limit. And all things are possible to him. The Christian is, look, they say the sky is the limit. We don't have limit. Can I hear amen? We don't have limit. You can say no to evil. You can say, I'm not doing this. Who bore you? You're not doing it. You can say no. You've been empowered. You don't say, this has been happening in my life for 10 days. No. You've been empowered. Oh, my God. You've been rise and shine. Oh, Jesus. I told you how I traveled to somewhere to go and rest. After service, I drove 7.5 hours. It was raining. I got there so tired. Immediately I got into this block of buildings. I was the only one. I was keeping my things. I had 3 rooms free. I was keeping my things and something moved across. I said, wow, I have company here. I laughed. You think I'd be afraid for what? I laughed. I said, I have company. Wow, this is getting interesting. So as I was unpacking, I realized that another movement. I said, okay, you are here. I'm not here. I'm here too. So I stopped. I put my things. And then I went and showered. As I was going to bed, something said, you must leave the lights on. I said, why? Devil, why? You should be afraid because I'm here. I said, turn it off and you should start quickly. And I went to bed, slept. And I realized that when I slept,
they were attacking me, and I was fighting them back in this way. Real. And then when I woke up, it was physical. What I'm telling you is real. Somebody was lying on my bed, and my bed was sinking. Physical. This is not when I'm sleeping. I was awake, wide awake. I realized they were full, all of them there. So I got up, I said, so you people are not afraid to come here? I said, now let me tell you, not only this room, this compound, the whole of this, as far as I'm here, 7 days, you will not show up. I said, before I can't, in the name of Jesus, come on, get out of here, all of you. Every peaceful. I stayed there the whole day. They didn't show up. I told him, I said, not only this room, but the whole of this compound. Oh, Jesus. Do you understand the power that is working? Do you know the authority of Jesus? He made heaven and earth. I said, in the authority of Jesus, this, as long as I'm here, I said, the whole of this compound, mark the boundary. You can't show up. You are not coming here. I'm reigning on earth. I said, wherever we go, God says we reign. And I don't allow you, because I have the authority to disallow all of you. And when I finished, I went to bed, slept like a baby. If I stayed the day I was going, I said, this car was a runaway. They run away. After I said, when I come, you get out. You get out of here. This thing has been defeated. I call it thing, that's what it is. It's zero. It's been what? All authority in heaven and earth has been handed to you. To you. Jesus gave it to you. You've been empowered. Stop chickening out and waiting for somebody to come and do something for you. Nobody is coming. It's you. If you call me, I'm not coming. Can I hear amen? I didn't hear you. Can I hear amen? I had my I told them this. The pain I had one night. Incredible pain. From nowhere. My mouth was full of saliva. Man, the pain was incredible. And I said, let me turn this. When I turned, it was like it increased the tempo. Then when I turned, so the devil said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to kick you out. That's what I'm going to do. I said, the pain. I said, now listen. You don't put pain on me. This body has been bought at a price. It doesn't belong to you. There's the blood lying here. That blood, I said, acid and atonement has been found for me. And whenever it's found, the cost does not work. And I said, if I can't, in the name of Jesus, take your pain. Take your pain. Take your pain and get out of here. It didn't stop. That was it. I slept like a baby. If you like, give me bone, I'll eat for you here. The same thing you do, we see. The same thing you do. The same thing you do with circumstances. The Bible says you shall decree a thing, it shall be what? Established. Didn't Jesus say you can speak to mountains? Have you ever spoken to this? Demand is changing. Have you ever demanded a change? Have you ever demanded? So we don't believe the gospel. That's carnal mindedness. And if you don't believe the gospel, you start devising your own means of doing this. And I'll continue on Thursday. Look, the gospel is not believed once. It is the power of God at work continuously. For instance, there is no point that Jesus said, I didn't take your sickness away again. It's a continuous truth that you must continue to believe. And as long as you continue to believe it, to that extent, it continues to work for you. You must believe it every day. It's not something you believe to become a Christian. It's what you live by. That's the truth. God gave the whole world. That's the truth, the gospel. Oh, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. First Corinthians 15, verse 1. let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then. What? Okay, let's read this one. Yeah, let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then. And what happened? And you still stand firm in it. Verse 2. Then he said, let me tell you what it is. It is the good news that saves you if you continue. If you what? For instance, if you continue to believe that by the stripes of Jesus you've been healed, then you continue to enjoy it. If you continue to believe that your sins are forgiven, you continue to enjoy it. If you continue to believe that you are free, then you enjoy freedom. If you continue to believe that you have been empowered, you can whatsoever you disallow, then you continue to enjoy it. But if you stop believing, if you continue to believe the message I told, oh, come on now. The message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place, the devil will try to come and confuse you. Then he told them the message he gave them. What message did he give them? Verse 3, quickly. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for your sins. See the first thing there? Come on, church. Christ what? Just as the scripture said. So that's what I passed across to you. And then, continue. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. This statement he made, these three statements, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, they have significance in the gospel. Each one. He gave them the complete message of the truth, the gospel of Jesus. One last scripture before we stop. Colossians 1:6. I don't know if you are getting anything. Colossians 1 what? It says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. By what? Changing lives. By what? Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. He said you understood the truth about God's what? Wonderful grace. Continue. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He's Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. Verse 8. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given. You know why they love? Because they believe that the love of God has been poured in their life. So they say, we know that the Holy Spirit gave us love. So we can love. So you can't say, if you know what he did. No, there's nothing like if you know. I know what Jesus did. I don't know what they did. The love of God has been poured in our hearts. So we can love. Can I hear amen? We can love. And so you say, we've heard that you're loving because the Holy Spirit gave you love. Empowerment. Great empowerment. Empowered to walk, to live in love. You can't say, hey, God, give me more grace. Yeah, God will give you more grace. I don't know. But what I know is that God has empowered you. Put it to use. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying God will give you more grace, but the one he gave you, what are you doing with it? How many of us are empowered? That's the way you bring glory. Can we rise up?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.